Hello and welcome to On the Line. I'm Carl Richter. I got to talk to longtime science educator Janet Ivey this week. She created Janet's Planet, which is a brand that does lots of things in the STEM education space. She does online videos, a podcast, activities for kids, summer camps for kids. And she has a touring show that she's bringing to the Perot Theater here in Texarkana on March 26th. It's called A Tour of the Solar System, and it sounds like a lot of fun. We talked about that, but most of our conversation was about the total solar eclipse that's coming and will be visible April 8th here in Texarkana. As you'll hear, she was so excited to talk about this that I barely got to even ask a question. So if you're not yet looking forward to the eclipse, I think listening to this might change your mind. As always, thanks so much for listening. If you like the show, please tell a friend or share a link. Help me get the word out. Here's my conversation with Janet Ivey. Thanks so much for doing this.
You bet. You bet. I'm excited about telling everybody about the total solar eclipse. It was so beautiful in Nashville. And, you know, it's funny. It started out, I was hired by Adventure Science Center to kind of help them consult and get their big festival ready. Mm-hmm. And then I attended an AAS meeting down in Columbia, South Carolina. And I was like, I came back and was like, oh, and did you know? And then there's this, and then there's this. And they're like, why don't you lead the next town hall meeting?
Wow.
And slowly but surely, it sort of was like I became sort of my own kind of self-proclaimed solar eclipse evangelist for Nashville. So everywhere I went, I had solar eclipse glasses, and I ended up being at a board meeting for something, and a new person from the local ABC affiliate was there. Was like, hey, would you like to come and do spots for, you know, Channel 2? And I was like, sure. And I rather knew that I was finally making impact is when I was pulled into, I guess, a Circle K not too far from Channel 2. I was just pumping gas, and I go in and pay. I'm coming back out, and the checker follows me out. She goes, aren't you that lady who keeps telling us about the eclipse? I've got questions. So I go back inside. I pull out some eclipse glasses from my trunk, and literally I was holding court in a Circle K, telling them when they had to wear their eye protection, why they had to do it, when they could take it off. And I get in the car, and I was like, you know what? Science for the win today, if I'm in a Circle K and people are curious about a celestial event. So that's why I'm excited about it, because did you get to see it in 2017 by chance?
We had the partial here, which was interesting, but I gathered the total eclipse is completely different.
I heard a funny astrophysicist say, a partial solar eclipse, the difference between a partial solar eclipse and a total solar eclipse is like a okay kiss and a really good kiss.
So, yeah, someone
so
else.
Get to that little path of totality for the really good experience.
And yes, everything. Someone else said it's like the difference between looking at a picture of a waterfall and standing by a waterfall.
So true, because it was even after the whole event, I went to get my hair cut, and I'm walking in, and Sandy goes, you know, Janet, I was thinking that you were just like, oh my gosh, I got tired of looking at you. It's like every night on the TV, you were telling us something about why we got to look up. And she goes, and then I finally had that experience. And people really talk about it as really kind of something holy and indescribable and kind of a spiritual experience. Yeah. And so, and I think what I love about it truly is just that hopefully for a moment, millions of people are all looking up, having a shared experience. And for one moment in time, we realize that we're a lot more unified than different and, you know, completely separated by all these different things that we think we are. And, you know, one of the things that I've been sharing a lot with places are just some of the cultural stories that, you know, kind of like occurred before we knew exactly what was happening during a total solar eclipse. And so you have the Vikings who thought sky wolves were devouring the sun. Yeah. You've got folks from Vietnam who thought a giant frog had gobbled up the sun. Even the one of the earliest words used for eclipse or meaning eclipses is a Chinese word called ruchi, and she still means to eat in Chinese. Oh, wow. And they thought a big black dog had gobbled up the sun. And so they knew that this was kind of like an eerie omen, that eclipses meant some kind of time of change or, you know, kind of foreboding. So the emperor would tell the royal astronomers to grab their bows and arrows, and they would shoot arrows at the moon. Not sure how that worked out for them, but and then they would have to gather together and make as much noise. Even down in Bolivia, like the Inca thought a jaguar was, you know, devouring the sun. And so they would have to make as much noise as possible to bring the light back. But maybe my favorite of all is from the Batamaliba tribe in Togo. And they thought that anytime the moon covered up the sun, that the sun and the moon were fighting, and that the only way to bring the light back was for people on Earth to make peace and stop their fighting. I'd rather like to enact that on April 8th. So yeah, like some beautiful stories. And, you know, also just I think one of the things I learned in some of my kind of like overexcited kind of you know, sharing of like, please look up, you must look up, learning that there are indigenous cultures, Native Americans, who it's a very sacred time for them as well, but looking at it is not on their list of activities. They go inside, they have a time, it's a time of deep spiritual renewal, and it's about rebirth and reflection. And so again, it's like, I'm always grateful that I continually get to learn things. And so for however that you experience or celebrate or reflect during a total solar eclipse, it is a powerful time. And the beautiful thing about this one, I mean, again, for some people, it's a once in a lifetime experience. For some people now, it will be a twice in a lifetime. And then when we look at the maps and when these things will occur again in any specific place, it won't necessarily happen over you guys for hundreds of years. You'll have to go elsewhere to take a look at it. But you know, a lot of times people will go, well, why do they occur every month? Well, there's a few special conditions. You have to have a new moon, and the moon is usually above or below the ecliptic plane of this, the Earth by 5 degrees, 5.2 degrees or more, above or below. But every once in a while, it's on the right kind of node that it lines up perfectly in between the sun and the Earth, creating an eclipse. And then you go, but wait a minute, the sun is way bigger than the moon. So how do you get that? Well, here's where the cosmic math and this beautiful kind of equation comes in. The sun is 400 times the size of the moon and is 400 times the distance away from Earth. And so the moon's smaller size is compensated by that distance. And so when it gets right in front, that is that moment. It blocks out the sun's light. We get to see those kind of feathery tendrils of the sun's corona with our own eyes. And it's just kind of magical to think that it's like all of those things have to be in all the right places. The moon is at perigee, meaning it's closest to Earth at this time. So the path of totality is wider in 2024 than it was in 2017. In 2017, the widest part was about 75 to 80 miles. In 2024, that path of totality is about 115 miles wide. So there's a great expectation that millions of people will come to that path of totality. And Arkansas is on everybody's big list. Arkansas, yeah. And Texas, because, and I think that, you know, when we were here in Nashville, we thought, oh, maybe this many people. And then we were like, whoa. And it was a total boon to the economy. It's like, and especially even for small towns, I think people are going to migrate to the bigger cities. Nashville had a lot of people come, but where Middle Tennessee really kind of like sort of like went, woo, this is a great thing that's happening economically for us, is that a lot of people went to the smaller places where they could have just a few seconds longer of totality, and or they thought traffic would not be as intense. But 40 is also already crazy. So, you know, make sure that you plan for something fun after the eclipse, and maybe start your drive Tuesday morning instead of Monday afternoon.
Yeah, we are definitely getting ready for a lot of visitors here. And that's the advice. We want people to come and stay a few days and not just race out into the traffic jam. So,
we lucked out somewhat in Tennessee, and a lot of people did leave. They were like, I've got to get back to work, because it's even back in 2017, it was on a Monday in August. But it's like the longest traffic jam was over the Ohio River for folks getting back into that region. And I think it was like an 11-hour traffic jam. So it's just a word to the wise. It won't be as hot as it was back in 2017. But we always say, if you think there could be a long, long wait, whether it's weather related or celestial events or whatever it's happening, go ahead and throw some water, some snacks, you know, extra gas. Make sure you've got a good, you're fueled up. Because I was driving back from Conway, Arkansas. I was just over a mountain home in Conway this past week. And there are places on I-40 coming back home that you're going, glad I got gas when I did. So it's just a good idea to think about it. And for anybody, we're less than a month out. Friday, we were officially a month out. If you have land, you could, I mean, we saw farmers and people that had, like, you know, roadside things. It's like, come park here for $20. We'll have some lemonade. You'd be surprised. You could easily make a few bucks, but also be somebody's, you know, amazing place to land, camp, or that sort of thing. Because I believe, if I don't think I'm misquoting here, but I believe all of your state parks are already booked.
Yeah, I wouldn't doubt that at all.
Yeah. So, I mean, it was just, but the thrill of it, the fun of it. Now, let's talk about the weather. Yikes. It's April. And, much like Tennessee, it's like, if you don't like the weather, wait a few hours and it'll surely change for you. Here's what happened in Nashville. Now, Nashville, you know, kind of like concrete jungle. And it's like, it was beautiful and amazingly hot. And then as the temperature began to drop and totality was about to start, it's like clouds covered the event for the most of the people got to see at least part of that totality, but they didn't get to see all of it. Now, folks out further out in Middle Tennessee and some of the more kind of like, you know, parks and things away from being in downtown Nashville, it's like the temperature dropped. It didn't matter. They saw it perfectly. So one of the things to know is that, and I always like going over this just to help you so that everybody's making sure they're protecting their eyes and everything, is that you'll know totality's happening as you're looking through your glasses and you start to see these little pink prominences there kind of in the chromosphere. And then there will pop out this little bubble that will look almost like a diamond ring. They're called Bailey's beads. You can think of them like the sun's diamond necklace. Once you see that pop out, and then it will begin to recede. Once it is completely gone, take those glasses off, and you'll have totality. But what will also happen as we are getting to totality, birds will flock to their nest. It's like you could look around you and begin to see fox and deer and everything on the perimeter, or maybe you'll hear an owl hoot. It's like, it will be interesting to watch what the animals do, what nature's doing, have the birds stop singing their daytime songs, and to kind of take a good listen as to what's going on. And then the other thing to be sure to do is to go during that temperature change. If you have clouds, all of a sudden they could part and you will see it in completion, because a lot of times it's like clouds come and go as temperature and humidity and all those things kind of like intersect.
I hadn't thought of that. How much does the temperature drop typically?
It can be anywhere from 5 to 20 degrees. Now, okay. I will tell you that in Nashville in 2017, we'd been at having the Adventure Science Festival, Science Center Festival that whole weekend. And it's like, I think I tracked on my Fitbit, I walked 17 miles in a day. It's like, and it was 99 degrees, you know what I mean? And that was in the shade nearly. It was just, and it was, I think, 105 heat index. So it won't be probably that. So think about, I don't know what temp you guys woke up to this morning, but it was a little chilly here. Mm-hmm. But later in the week, we're going to be up in the 60s and 70s. It does look like we have, you know, kind of like an early spring. So maybe we're done with any of that kind of like freezing temperatures and stuff. But if you look at the potentiality for cloud cover, it's like everybody's probably like, you know, white knuckling this moment because it's 50, 60, 70% of clouds all along the path. Now it's less certainly down in Texas and Arkansas, but even in Indiana, you've got places that are a little more southern that have greater chance of cloudiness. But again, that 5 to 20 degree temperature difference. And so I don't know what will happen when it's not as hot as it was. Mm-hmm. So part of the clouds could have happened too in Nashville simply because of that temperature change, not because of, I mean, mainly where they all went, is just, again, surrounded by concrete parking lots, not a lot of trees. So who knows all of those mechanisms working together. So, you know, back in, you know, one of the early 1930s total solar eclipses, same sort of thing happened. And people, when they saw the clouds, just up and packed up and thought, no chance that we're going to see this, and tried to move to a better location. And there were these women, that was a trip Edison was trying to make sure he saw it. And these women were like, we're up here, we don't want to haul it down now. And they got the best view because they just stayed and waited for the clouds to part. And I've heard that from other eclipse chasers, that they were there, it was foggy, rainy, all this sort of thing. The good news is that no matter what, day is going to turn to night on April 8th. And so, you know, for Arkansas, it's going to happen sometime. It's like, depending on exactly where you're located, kind of in between like about 1:35 and 2 p.m. Central Time. And so, again, you're going to get more than 4 minutes. So even if it's cloudy, it's going to darken. You're going to see this weird kind of 360 degree upside down kind of sunset. You know, you're going to, the animals can act differently. So it won't be like there won't be anything to observe. It just won't be as awesome if you're blocked in by clouds.
Hey, everyone. I want you to know how proud I am to welcome Hostetler Roofing as a sponsorship partner. I had the pleasure to meet with some of Hostetler's staff, and I could tell they really mean it when they say they're all about honesty, integrity, and accountability. They get it that contractors don't have the best reputation, and they want to change people's minds about that by setting an example. Everything Hostetler Roofing does is about taking care of customers. Whether it's a commercial or residential job, maintenance, repair, or a whole new roof. That's why they offer 5 and 10 year workmanship warranties on everything they do. Hostetler has a huge variety of roofing styles and materials available, and they're happy to help you with options to pay for their work, from affordable financing to applying for government grants. It all starts with a free inspection. Just call and ask, and before you know it, you'll get the best advice out there about your roof. Visit HostetlerRoofing.com or call 870-557-4797 to get started. And please mention you heard about them here.
And you might see a lot of migration. If all of a sudden there's a storm brewing, and where they've got one of the largest parties, you know, down in, you know, West Texas, you could see some people go, you know, wait a minute, because we knew people who had actually had 5 different hotel reservations just in case the weather mm-hmm. was going to prevent them. Now, I will tell you, there are a few other things. So we're going to cross our fingers. We're going to wish the clouds away. If it starts out cloudy, maybe the temperature will bring the sun. But another thing to look up for, we know Venus will be visible. You might see other constellations. We even know there is a comet called the Devil Comet. It's going to be visible that day.
Because you're going to start scaring people now.
Yeah, I know. It's like, yeah, it's only because the comet has horns. That's right. The only reason it's called that. But so that's what we're just inviting people to do. On my website at janetsplanet.com under Eclipse Resources, we've got a solar eclipse scavenger hunt for kids.
Oh,
so
cool.
That they, like, so that if, like, what did you see? Did you see clouds? Did you see the pink prominences? Did you see shadow bands? Now, shadow bands are tricky. They look like these little squiggly snakes. And especially if you are, if you put down a white sheet or you're on white asphalt, you need a white blanket or something white and reflective. But they happen seconds before totality and seconds after. And it's basically the last of the sun's light kind of like interacting with our atmosphere. And it becomes like these little wiggly, wiggly little slinky snakes coming out. So those are fun to look for. They're elusive, mm-hmm. but you're going to need to plan for that. Put out a little kind of white poster board, white sheet or something like that. But again, you know, zoos across America are going to be watching again at the Nashville Zoo. The flamingos, once it turned dark, they went and tried to protect their young. Mm-hmm. Giraffes ran around like crazy. Pigs did what they always did. They just rolled around in the slop and dirt. They just were, where's the slop bucket already? But, you know, I had people ask me, well, what will my dog do or my cat do? And I was like, well, if they come in at nighttime, they may be, you know, pawing or meowing at the door wanting to come in. And then the funny thing is that once the moon does move across the sun, we might experience what we call a false dawn, or experience a false dawn, where we may hear a rooster crow.
Oh,
the birds,
yeah,
start to chirp like their morning time songs. They may start to wonder, where's breakfast? So
my cat will go crazy.
Do you think it will?
Well, I don't know. He usually does at dawn.
So yeah, it'll be like, wait a minute. It's like, you know, who knows if they're how much their biological clock. But again, probably the most amazing thing, I happened to be at Channel 2 that day. So we were on air and then we would race to the dock to try to get a peek of what was going on. And the most profound thing is that when we ran to the dock and it was beginning to get darker and darker, we saw birds flying to the nest. We felt the wind from the flap of their wings. And it was weird. We heard the crickets start their evening songs. That to me was like, okay, even when nature is like responding to this celestial event, it's time to not only just observe and take a look at the grandeur of it, because it's going to look like somebody punched a hole in the sky. Hulk got mad and punched mm-hmm. a hole there. But to look around and to listen to everybody going, and it's really, that kind of thing almost makes you cry, because you go, you know, it's like, it's not too often in this crazy world we live in to experience wonder, or to give ourselves over to wonder. And it's a moment of just celestial beauty and experience, hear it, feel it, all of those things. But
I'm going to be out reporting on it, so I'll have to be taking pictures of other people and so forth, but I'm going to try to get that done and enjoy it myself a little bit.
You know what? There's always like, you know, what is it called? Auto or, you know, kind of like we're suggesting that, you know, I do that and like make sure you're capturing all of it, and then it's like the good news is you've got 4 minutes and I can't remember Texarkana. How many seconds?
We're on the edge. So it's more like 2.5 minutes.
Okay. So you guys are on the edge. So again, it's going to go by fast, whether you've got 2 minutes or 4 minutes, you're just stunned. It was like, wait a minute, I don't want it to be over quite yet. But do sneak. So get that good angle and get it all lined up and then look around and have that moment, because it really is something special. And because Texarkana is doing such a great job about you know, making sure that everybody's got a place to go and you guys are, you know, majorly promoting this, you're going to see a lot of people. And, you know, it's like Nashville, we kind of underestimated. We thought, oh, yeah, we'll get a few. And then we got kind of double or almost triple as many people as we thought. So, again, I think it's anybody's good guess because of weather, timing, all of those kinds of things. But it will be fun. I will say for any kids, and I wish I've got these. It's like you can find these sort of viewers that are easy. You can kind of like hole punch these and put them around the neck. If you want to, you can also take those glasses, put it inside a paper plate so that literally the entire plate is covering their face, and then they just have to lift that up.
That makes sense.
A lot of times the glasses are just ill-fitting for the kiddos, and they're like, I don't know where I put them. Another thing you can do, you can even take just your hands and kind of create a lattice with the kids, and they can see the crescent suns. You know, if you put down white paper, white poster board, you can take, you can even have them hold a button with their, you know, kind of like walk backs to the sun and or a Ritz cracker. Mm. And, you know, it will then do the crescents on a white piece of paper, a colander. You know, we all made a pinhole projector at some point. So there are multiple ways. You can even sit young children under the trees and you'll begin to see those dappled little crescents all around. If you're, you know, again, I think it's just as easy to take a paper plate, cut that section out, and then there you have it. And, you know, it's an easy, those are kinds of easy things you can do just to make sure, because our retinas don't have pain sensors. So we don't want your curiosity to overcome your common sense.
Right.
And again, as it gets darker and darker, the colors will become muted. It's like all of a sudden it's like things won't look exactly right. Like weird, this is what is happening here. And you may be tempted to look longer than you normally would. Yeah. So that is the thing. You can wear number 14 welder's glasses. You must, they also must have this thing that says ISO safety rated, and that's 13212-2. You need to know the manufacturer. There's a list at the NASA Solar Eclipse website that gives you an entire list. I'm partial to a company called American Paper Optics right out of Memphis, Tennessee. I know them. I have been to their kind of facility. They are NASA approved, and you can still order them from the American Paper Optics website, and or you can go to my janetsplanet.com site, click on that link. And the good news is, as an ambassador for them, thus the plug, but I would trust them anyway, 10% of any sale from now through April and up to the eclipse goes to St. Jude Children's Hospital.
Oh, that's so great.
Yeah. So, yeah. And they're also giving 10% of their sales, I think, to ALS as well.
Oh, cool. Yeah. Our public library is providing a lot free. We have these really cool souvenir ones where one lens is shaped like Texas and the other is shaped like Arkansas that
that's
people can
perfect.
Get. So, yeah.
That's awesome.
There's lots around here. We got to talk about your show. You're coming to the Perot Theater on March 26th. But tell me about, first of all, tell me about what Janet's Planet is. I'm a little hesitant to try to summarize it. You do so many various things. And then what you can know, people like, expect at the show?
Well, okay, so Janet's Planet kind of is a galaxy unto its own. I do tons of things, whether that's educating online and doing space and science there or doing summer camps and my astronaut academies. But during the school year, spring and fall, I tour a solar system show, and we start with the sun and we zoom on out all the way out into the Kuiper Belt. And it's just fun. We have lots of places where you can win a prize, get a gift for participating and coming on stage. So we break it up. And like, if I feel like, especially for school shows, and it's like, I can tell the kids are getting a little wiggly, I was like, all right, stand up, because the rings of Saturn never, ever stop spinning, and neither can you until I finish what I'm telling you. So it's just, it's lots of facts, but it's also just to get them excited too. We focus on the Artemis generation, and that who but knows that the first person on Mars might be right here from Arkansas.
There you go.
And I did have a little kid named Owen in Conway tell me that he was going to Mars, and he was going to pick up a lot of rocks, and that he was not going to take his parents because it was going to be dangerous, and it was precious. And so that's the fun of it, is just planting that kind of like excitement and passion. We end the show saying, you are star stuff. I mean, this is a thing I just found out the other day. Did you know that you actually have a couple of tiny gold atoms in your neurons? And we know all of the gold ever created was done by these colliding neutron stars, right? But the way we move and walk and talk around, there are these tiny little atoms of gold in our brain. Who knew? We are the best supercomputer ever built, even though ChatGPT wants to give us a run for our money. But and so it's like Carl Sagan said, we are star stuff, from the iron in our blood to the calcium in our teeth to the carbon in our DNA. And just to remind kids, it's like, you are part of something grand. Now shine forth brightly. Go shine your stars, shine somewhere, and do amazing things, invent, create, innovate, and make this world and outer space better. And so we just have a really fun time. It's about 55 minutes, an hour long. And
what age group is this aimed at?
It's really aimed at kind of like probably sort of like K-5. I feel like kind of like the real, or K-6. But you know what? I had ninth graders the other day in Mountain Home, and they were loving it. It was like, do you know what I mean? I think it's like when I know there's a little bit of a middle school, older crowd there, I'll change the language. I'll kind of like talk a little bit more, you know, on their grade level or academically. But it's just a fun kind of ride through the solar system. And I had a grandma the other night go, I learned so much. I was like, maybe I just reminded you of what you probably learned years ago. And she's like, I don't know about that. But so we try to make it as fun, funny. I don't know about you, but my favorite show growing up was The Electric Company. Mm-hmm. I mean, it was a sketch comedy show where you were learning and laughing and didn't really know you were learning because you were enjoying the kind of sketches that were there. So a lot of my inspiration for how we sort of present to a family and children's audience is like, okay, how do I get them laughing? And then they're learning at the same time. But I have a blast doing it. See what I did there? it really, for me, is just so much fun, because I'll after the show, I'll get some really amazing questions about, oh, well, what about this, or black holes, or what, you know? And so that means that somehow their curiosity got ignited.
That's great. It sounds like a lot of fun.
Where
will you be on Eclipse Day?
Well, right now, I will have just finished up shows in Corsicana, Texas, where they are expecting to see about 4 minutes and 11 seconds. They're just about an hour and a half down from Dallas-Fort Worth. Mm-hmm. And so my husband is coming out. And so we're planning on there. But if we see the weather is bad, we're heading towards Arkansas.
Okay.
So it's like we could wind up in Texarkana or Hot Springs or Little Rock or Conway or someplace. If the weather's not looking awesome there in Corsicana, I'll be making my way on up. And then that way we're even slightly closer to home here in Tennessee.
Well, maybe we'll see you then, and we'll definitely see you on March 26th at the Perot Theater. Yeah. I'll put the link in our show notes so people know where they can get tickets.
Please do. And it's like, I know they would love it over there for you to come out. And again, it's going to be fun. And we're going to talk more about what a solar eclipse is, remind the kids once more about when to look and how to view safely, do a couple of little hands-on activities to show them things that they can measure there. And also, again, go to my website, janetsplanet.com, and check out that solar eclipse I just forgot the word for it. Yeah.
Scavenger hunt.
That word. Oh, it's around the world and back again. I can't even remember that. But the scavenger hunt, and check it out. We'd love to. You get a certificate for completing it.
Oh, cool.
And we want to kind of know what you saw and felt and experienced.
All right. I'll put a link to that too. Thanks so much for spending some time with us. I am so excited for this. I can't tell you. So, you've made me even more excited. So thanks so much.
Oh, good. Good. Well, again, hopefully, again, it's just this moment that I think until you really experience the fullness of it, it does become a kind of holy spiritual time of reflection and just looking at this beautiful earth situated in the Goldilocks zone of our star with the moon situated at such the right distance away from the sun that these kinds of like amazing orbital mechanics work and then give us this beautiful view. So it'll be one amazing day. And we'll have to like, if the emperor told the royal astronomers to draw back their arrows and shoot the black dog away from the sun, we will just kind of like do some sweeping away of the clouds. Maybe that will work.
There you go. All right. Thanks so much.
Oh, you bet. Thank you, guys. See you soon.
On the Line is a Texarkana Gazette podcast recorded in Star Bear Studio, right here in downtown Texarkana, USA. Follow On the Line on our website, texarkanagazette.com/podcast. To support the show, post a positive review wherever you get your podcasts. And please, spread the word by sharing a link or telling a friend. I write, produce, and edit the show, and I'd love to hear from you. Email me at krichter@texarkanagazette.com and let me know what you think. I'll see you next time on the line.